It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The jockeying among candidates and potential candidates for the Democratic Party's nomination for governor in 2014 has already begun. The man who got the jump on everybody is John Hanger, who headed the Department of Environmental Protection under former Governor Ed Rendell and also served on the state's Public Utility Commission. Hanger was the first candidate to enter the field just weeks after the 2012 presidential election. He joins us now in Studio A to discuss his position on a number of issues. John Hanger, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Why did you end up entering the race so early?
Well, the truth is that incumbents, and especially incumbent governors, run for re-election from the first day of their office. Governor Corbett has been raising money every year since he's been elected. Incumbents have an enormous advantage, and I'm bringing a people's campaign to Pennsylvania, and frankly, my only real asset is time, and I'm trying to use that as well as possible to talk with as many people as possible.
So what are you most passionate about improving in the state of Pennsylvania? Education, healthcare, the environment, jobs, or something else?
Well, that's a good list right there.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm very passionate about public education. To be blunt, we are seeing a very serious and increasingly successful effort to privatize public education from kindergarten all the way through higher ed. Our economy has taken a nosedive under Governor Corbett. Our job creation rate has fallen terribly, and now we have an unemployment rate above the national average. I have a jobs plan at my website, hangerforgovernor.com. Easy to criticize, but we have a responsibility to propose positive solutions, so you can check out the jobs plan. I'm also very passionate about our energy choices and opportunities. So I have a real drilling plan, moving forward with renewable energy, solar, wind, energy efficiency.
Are you in favor of fracking?
Well, here's my position on fracking. I believe it does not belong in certain locations. So, for example, I wrote the moratorium on gas drilling in state forests and would be adamant about keeping gas drilling out of state forests, or at least not having it expand further. I want to keep it out of state parks. On people's private lands, I think it's very important to make sure that gas drilling is reasonably zoned. So I believe local governments have the right to zone industrial activity, including gas drilling. I believe it's very important that the state strongly regulate it, and our rules need further tightening, and we need more inspectors. And then, of course, it must be taxed. And actually, in Pennsylvania right now, we're not zoning it properly, we're not regulating it properly, and we're not taxing it properly.
The documentary Gasland seemed to put you in a poor light when it came to drilling. But as you say, your stance is mitigated by at least making sure that drilling does not occur in certain areas where some proponents of fracking say it's okay to drill.
Right. Look, I have a position on energy informed by 29 years of expertise. And the truth about our energy choices, our traditional energy choices, coal, oil, gas, and nuclear, is that they all have major public health and safety risks. I live in the Three Mile Island nuclear evacuation area. I believe in strongly regulating all of those, and I believe in accelerating the new technologies like renewables, solar, wind, energy efficiency. But I'm not going to pander to people. I'm going to tell people the truth about where we really are and where we can get and on what kind of timescale. So I think it's feasible, for example, to double renewable energy by 2020 in Pennsylvania. Nobody's done more to create wind farms in Pennsylvania than me. Nobody's done more to create solar systems across Pennsylvania than me. And we have 7,000. We could have many more. So I'm passionate about the new energy choices, and I'm realistic about our existing ones.
When it comes to the topic of education, I want to circle back to that, because the governor, if he's received criticism on any issue, education has certainly been a big target for his critics. And one of the things that they say is he does not spend enough money on education. What is the state's responsibility when it comes to putting money in state coffers for public education?
Well, in any budget, there's a limited amount of money, and you have to make priorities. That my top two priorities within any state budget would be public education and public safety. I also believe the state has a responsibility to fund half of the cost of public education. And today, under Corbett, the state is picking up about a third of the bill and passing two-thirds of the bill to local governments. And as a result, 70% of school districts have raised school taxes during the Corbett administration. And we've also, devastatingly, laid off 20,000 educators. Pennsylvania schools have never been worse off than they are today. That's a direct consequence of the governor's choices. I do believe that the state needs to increase funding, but it's not just a funding issue. It's also a structural issue.
How so?
Well, look.
You're saying it could be more efficient?
Well, yeah, absolutely, in a couple of very real ways. Right now, local school districts are funding with local school tax dollars, not just their local traditional high schools and elementary schools, but they're also funding cyber charter schools. They're also funding bricks and mortar charter schools. And there's been no real accountability for that spending on charter schools. Now we know actually the student performance in charter schools. And it's absolutely true that about a third of them have good student performance. And I support charter schools with good student performance. But I'm absolutely opposed to wasting taxpayer money on poor performing cyber charter schools and other charter schools that have lousy reading and math scores and lousy graduation rates. When you add up that money that's going to the poor performing charter schools, it's big. It's $700 million a year.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Our guest is a Democratic candidate for governor in 2014, John Hanger. He headed the Department of Environmental Protection under former Governor Ed Rendell. We recently had a public forum here at WESA discussing health care and the Affordable Care Act. You have stated that you want to implement a single-payer system when it comes to health care. This is something Ralph Nader advocates. A number of so-called progressive Democrats are in favor of this, and it's one of the things that, for whatever reason, was eliminated right away as they started to hammer out what health care in the future would look like as the Obama administration was pushing for the AFA in 2009. Elaborate on the system of single-payer health care. What it would mean for the average middle-class American and whether it's realistic to expect that it's possible to have that here.
Well, just going back to the history, just quickly, public option or Medicare for all was actually embraced by about somewhere between 50 and 58 Democratic senators during the ACA adoption process. Couldn't quite get to 60 for either expanding Medicare to all or another form of public option. But this is a provision, a health reform that I think many, many reasonable people embrace because it's all about reducing the transaction costs. We're spending 20 to 25 cents of every healthcare dollar on paperwork. And the idea of single payer and single or a public option is to reduce the administrative costs chewed up in our healthcare system and make sure that money is going into healthcare or into cost reduction. So the single-payer system is more effective in terms of being careful with our money, and it's also better in delivering health care. I recognize that right now we're implementing the Affordable Care Act. We have the health care exchanges up and running. I would like to expand Medicaid. Certainly, these are improvements in our health care system. It will, in fact, protect more people. It will bring, if we did expand Medicaid, jobs to Pittsburgh and other hospitals across Pennsylvania. So there is opportunities in the medium term. But I personally think that this is not the end of healthcare. This nation spends a huge amount of money on healthcare. 17-18% of our total economy is going right into healthcare. It's about twice what Canada spends or any other industrialized nation. Very frankly, we're wasting a huge amount of money in our healthcare system, and a public option or single payer system would begin to address that problem.
You're on record for legalizing marijuana for medicinal purposes, and you made a statement where you said, quote, three presidents of the United States would have been branded drug criminals for life if they had been caught, end quote. What makes you so passionate about this issue?
Yeah, I think this is a really important issue because it is absolutely impacting, even ruining people's lives. Start with the children and the mothers and fathers I've met who suffer from a serious form of epilepsy. These are children that have 200 seizures a day. And cannabis is actually an effective means of addressing those seizure problems. And many of these families have tried everything else and are left with cannabis as the only option. I think it's cruel, even barbaric, to withhold cannabis from sick patients. 20 states, of course, have changed their laws to allow doctors to prescribe cannabis. I really don't understand how we in Pennsylvania can, those in office can sleep well at night knowing that we have Pennsylvanians who need cannabis and are being denied it. The second reason I'm passionate about it, I've met the mothers and fathers and I've met the people themselves who have been caught with a joint and now have a criminal record. And their lives have been seriously impacted. And yes, they've done nothing more than what three presidents of the United States have done. These laws are unjust and destructive. They cost, by the way, taxpayers $350 million a year to enforce. That's $350 million that could be saved and put into education or other vital needs. These laws are counterproductive. I think most people actually agree with me on that. So I've laid out a three-step reform plan. It starts with medical cannabis. It continues with decriminalization, which simply means reducing the penalty, turning it into a summary offense. And then if all that goes well, and if in fact Colorado and Washington has success, I would move to regulation and taxation in 2017.
We're talking with John Hanger, Democratic candidate for governor in 2014. There is an ongoing debate about how to combat gun violence in Pennsylvania, just as there is elsewhere in the country. You have said that there are, quote, smart ways to combat gun violence while avoiding any type of infringement on the Second Amendment. How do you do that?
Well, first, you have to actually take seriously mental health treatment. It's all in the news. For goodness sakes, we have people in this country who are hearing voices telling them to harm themselves or others who are armed and who are not getting appropriate treatment. This governor has overseen cuts to mental health programs. That's absolutely irresponsible, and it's a threat to public safety. So the first smart thing you do is try to head off these problems by making sure that those folks who have serious mental health issues are appropriately cared for. The second thing that you do is try to keep out of the hands of people like that firearms. Here we're talking about background checks. Those who have a record of violence or those who are hearing voices should not be able to get a firearm. Governor Corbett thinks they should. I disagree with him on that. But also the Second Amendment is now clear. It's an individual right. And I oppose gun bans. So it's within those areas of policy that we have to figure out smart ways.
In Pennsylvania, we have the death penalty. You have some pretty strong views about the death penalty. Would it continue to be the law in Pennsylvania if you were the governor?
Well, I have said I would sign a law replacing the death penalty with life without parole. I will enforce the death penalty as long as it's on the books. It's a responsibility of a governor to be part of that process.
Right, but would you lead a push to eliminate the death penalty?
I would advocate that this is a law that's broken. It's counterproductive in a number of ways. And I will say very directly and personally, I don't want to execute somebody who is innocent. This state has condemned to death six people who subsequently were proven innocent. That worries me. I think it should worry all Pennsylvanians. The country has condemned to death over 140 people who were subsequently proven innocent. Those are the ones we know of. Now, the death penalty is implemented by human beings, and I would be one of those in that process. I can make a mistake. Any human being can make a mistake. And when you're talking about a death sentence, you can't say, oh, I'm sorry, and make it right. So I think it's very important that we, in fact, lock up violent criminals for life and throw away the key. I've had a gun put to my head. I'm far from soft on crime. But the death penalty, by the way, is a system that is also costing a huge amount of money. And the last execution was more than 15 years ago. And it was somebody who gave up their appeals. It's a system that doesn't work. It should be replaced with life without parole.
Last question for you. Should Pennsylvania have gay marriage?
Absolutely. Pennsylvania is the home of liberty. And I strongly support liberty, as we've talked about in a couple of other areas, and certainly for those who want to marry. The government has no business just getting in the middle of two people's love. And I also feel just as strongly that the government must protect any religious institution's right to marry only those who they want to marry. So a religious institution that does not want to marry two people of the same sex, I would defend their right not to marry those two people to the end. But there are some churches who do want to marry people of the same sex, and their religious practice is being actually infringed by Pennsylvania's laws. I believe in letting people live their own lives as long as they're not harming others. And frankly, two people who want to get married should be allowed to do so in Pennsylvania.
John Hanger is a Democratic candidate for governor. John Hanger, thanks so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It was great to be with you and your listeners.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up on 90.5 WESA.